Well, it's 3:30 New Zealand. It's Daily Devotion time. I'm Logan Hargill. This is Covenant Presbyterian Church's stream / video, and it's great to be together. Welcome, welcome. Thanks for coming and joining me today. If you're new here, it's great to have you with us. If you're a returnee, it's great to have you with us. And either way, isn't it a blessing to be able to pause and open up the Word of God together? Well, we're here to open up the Bible. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter. If it's your first time here, we've just started our journey through the book of Peter after looking at James and Lamentations. And so we're going to be turning to the letter of 1 Peter. So if you've got your Bibles, I'd encourage you to open it up and follow along. Keep it open in front of you so that we can keep looking at it together. But before we do that, let's just bow our heads in a time of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your glorious word, which shows us your magnificence, which shows us your beauty, which helps us to see you as you truly are known. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to see something beautiful in the word today, that we would see Jesus Christ, that we would see you in a fresh way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I said, if you've got your Bibles, if you want to turn to 1 Peter, we're going to be looking at chapter 1, verse 3 through 5 today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, may God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and minds. Peter starts by, after doing his introduction, which we looked at yesterday, Peter eulogizes. You might say, what? Eulogizes? I don't remember reading anything about eulogizing. But the word blessed there comes from where we get the Greek word eulogy, to make a eulogy. And you know what a eulogy is, of course. If you've ever been to a funeral, they have that section of eulogies where people stand up and talk about the deceased person. And they talk about, you know, the way that they used to be a good parent, or the stories that people remember them with fondness and the wonderful things they did. And it's basically a form of praising. And I don't mean that in an irreverent manner, like we're worshipping dead people or anything like that. But what I mean is eulogies are a form of honoring and praising the dead person for the life they had, remembering them for the good that they contributed to society or loved ones or whatever it was. Well, Peter here eulogizes God. And I mean that with full reverence. He eulogizes God. He praises God. He lifts up his voice. He lifts up his pen and writes to the glory of God. He wants to start by speaking praises to his God, and he has every reason to do so. He has every reason to do so, because he, like you, like me, have experienced the infinite mercy of God. And that's what all of this eulogizing is. These first 3, 4, and 5, these verses, 3, 4, and 5, these first 3 verses here are just packed with nothing but praise to God for what God has achieved through his mercy. And that's all we want to look at today. We just want to consider this amazing eulogy of Peter to his Savior, to his God. So let's consider this eulogy. Firstly, as I said, it's through mercy, but notice that It's according to his mercy. Have a look at verse 3. According to his great mercy. And firstly, it's to a better hope. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Peter recognizes that because of the great mercy of God in his own life, and in the life of his readers, and in your life and my life, he now has a better hope. We have a better hope because we have a living hope. And that's really important. There is no hope in the dead, is there? There's a reason grave sites are kind of depressing places. If you've ever gone to a cemetery and just walked around it, the older it is, the more interesting, I guess, but there's something hopeless about the place, isn't there? Well, that's because in the dead there is no hope. You will find no hope in the dead. You will only find hope in the living. And so Peter says, we are born, we are regenerated, we are reborn, taking those words of Jesus to Nicodemus. You know, remember that Jesus to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Peter says, we've been born again to a better hope, a living hope. But not only is it a living hope, it's a secure hope. He says, born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is why it's a better hope, because it's secure in Jesus Christ. As sure as the resurrection of Jesus is the hope that we've been born into. We've been born into the hope that is bound into the life of Christ. So that as long as Jesus has been raised from the dead, which he has, which we have testimony to, which he has, then we have a very sure foundation. We have a very sure hope. And there is hope in the living. We don't have a dead hope, do we? We have a living hope because we've seen Jesus be raised from the dead. Peter, with his own eyes, saw Jesus alive. And so he fixed his hope on that. He said, Jesus lives, and so I too will live. You see, the reason we have hope is that Jesus is alive. And therefore we in him will live as well. What a blessed assurance. This is why he raises his voice to praise, because our hope has no doubt in it. And yet notice that we don't just have a better hope, we have a better inheritance. He says in verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. We have a better inheritance. This is something worth praising God over. It's imperishable. It will never see corruption. The inheritance that is set aside for you and I will never perish. It will never begin to rust away. I don't know if you've ever had something rust before. I've got a 1980 Toyota Corona. Well, technically my wife does. Her nana gave it to her, but you know, what's hers is mine and mine is hers, so therefore it's mine. And anyway, this car is great. It's got this beautiful old vinyl roof on it. It's really lovely, and it never had any rust in it. And then we took it to this little town called Rotorua. Thanks, Rotorua. It's a town infested with sulfur, and the sulfur just started eating it alive, and it's packed full of rust now. And you look at it, and there's certain parts of the car where you could probably poke your finger through it, as the rust has made it to perish. Or maybe you've got one of those pairs of pants or one of those pairs of socks on where you can sort of see your left toe sticking out because they've perished. Well, Peter says the inheritance we have in Christ will never perish. But not only will it never perish, it's never going to be defiled. No one's ever going to make it anything but pure and beautiful. Sin can never taint it. Sin can never cause it to be ugly. Sin can never cause it to look like our hearts look sometimes. Because it will be kept pure and spotless. But not only is it never going to perish, not only is it never going to be tainted, but it will never fade. It's unfading. You know what it's like? You get your favorite t-shirt. Oh, I love this t-shirt. 2 years later, it doesn't quite look as lovely anymore. It's just looking a bit ragged and colorless. Our inheritance in 1 billion years will be just as rich, bright, and colorful as ever before. And do you know why? Do you know why it will never perish, never be defiled, and never fade? Because of what he says at the end of verse 4. It is being kept in heaven for you. Or literally, it has been being kept in heaven for you. God has sealed it in his Son. Your inheritance is kept in Jesus Christ. You see, that's the point. All of this is rooted in Christ, in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and in the ongoing existence of Christ, because Christ is our unfading inheritance. Your inheritance is not that you're going to live forever. The wicked will receive that inheritance. Your inheritance as a believer is that you will receive Christ at the end for eternity. You will receive life in Him, and He will never fade. He will never be defiled. He will never perish. And though 1 million, 1 billion, 1 jillion years go by, He will be the morning star. He will be the sunrise. He will be our life. He will be our glory. But lastly, we don't just have a better hope. We don't just have a better inheritance, but we have a better salvation. Have a look at verse 5. Kept in heaven for you, who, so this is speaking of you and I, who, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We have a better salvation. We have a better salvation because it's not based upon yours or my performance. Notice that it's salvation by faith. This is so important, isn't it? I tell you, there's nothing worse that I could comprehend right now than a salvation based upon my efforts. I don't know about you, but that is a terrifying prospect. It really, really is a terrifying prospect. That the idea that I would be saved if I was good enough, or that if I would merit enough works, that is a terrifying prospect, because I know my heart, I know my actions, I know my lack of love, I know my selfishness, I know my pride, and for all of the warts and sores that you see in me, and all of the wrong things you see in me, I see infinitely more. And God sees infinitely more again. He understands the full depth of my soul. Oh, if it was based on my performance, there would be no hope. And if it was based on your performance, there would be no hope. But it's not. It's not. Peter says that it's by faith. The salvation is by faith because it's rooted and kept and guarded by God himself. Isn't that what he says? Who by God's power are being saved. By God's power are being saved. You know the wonderful thing about the salvation declared in the gospel? You can't mess it up. Isn't that a wonderful hope? I tell you what, it's a wonderful hope for me. You can't mess it up because I would make a train wreck of my faith every day of the week if God did not keep me. This is why the perseverance of the saints is such a blessed doctrine. You know, people get all up in arms about it. Oh, who will be saved? Will they be saved? Just forget all of it. Forget all of the petty, ridiculous arguments. God guards your salvation to the end, primarily to save you from yourself, because you have a heart which is inclined to sin. And remember, we sing it, don't we? Prone to wander, O Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. Take my heart and do what with it? Seal it for thy courts above. That's what Peter's talking about. I can't do this, God. I need you to do it. And you know what Peter is eulogizing over? He's eulogizing because he knows God has. Maybe you struggle with assurance. Maybe you struggle. Maybe you doubt if you're going to be saved. Maybe your heart, even today, is just jam-packed with doubts and frustrations. Maybe you've just stuffed up again. Maybe you've just fallen. Maybe you're looking at your heart and thinking, there's no way I could ever be saved. You know why Peter is rejoicing? He's rejoicing because God was able to save Peter, who would deny Christ to his face 3 times. Who would make mistake after mistake. Who would mess up in the church. This Peter, Peter says, this Peter is being saved and is being kept by God. And my dear brother and sister, that same God is keeping you. That same God has given you a better hope, has given you a better inheritance, has given you a better salvation. And all of it is rooted in Christ. So the only way it could be removed is for Christ to have to be removed from the right hand of God. And who is there who can remove Christ from the right hand of God? There's no one. No one can remove Jesus. No one has the power, the right, or the authority to do anything about our salvation. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. There. You can finish it, I'm sure. There in the power of Christ I stand. This is why Paul eulogizes, and I tell you, we will eulogize over this for eternity. And though we be here for 1 million years, yet even still, and we will be here for 1 million years and many more, we still will never tire of singing his praise. Are you eulogizing today? Well, what a wonderful salvation. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your so great salvation, that we are rooted and grounded and founded and hounded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Take our hearts, O Lord, and seal it for your courts above. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us again this afternoon. It's been a joy to be together, and I pray that you'd have a blessed night and a blessed afternoon, unless it's, I don't know, you're in some weird part of the world that isn't on New Zealand time, in which case, whatever time of the day it is, may it be well with you. And we'll look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow at 3:30 New Zealand Standard Time. God's richest blessings.
Come on.